listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We are joined by the pros who know, NFL expert, two-time Super Contest winner. And is there anything you can't do, Steve Fezzik? You can bench. Occasionally, you'll go out for a drink midweek. Is there anything you can't do?
I cannot hold my alcohol at all, Jonas.
Okay, so that'll set the tone for the remainder of the show, I'm assuming. Also joining us here, college football expert, but one of the best in the business, Brad Powers, who I'm assuming, growing up on a farm, you had to learn how to hold your alcohol better than Steve Fezzik did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there it is. So, guys, we are, as mentioned, going to be here until 7 p.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. We've got a ton to get to. Greg Cosell is going to join us at the bottom of the hour here on Fox Sports Radio. All sorts of information, different angles, a deeper dive into both the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game coming up this weekend. But we want to start with the NBA because we had a little bit of history on Wednesday night, but it's not quite the history you would think of. James Harden scores 58 last night, his 18th straight game with at least 30 points, yet the Rockets lose in overtime to the Nets, 145-142. Steve Fezzik, what is the Vegas perspective on Harden's streak and the effects on Houston long term?
Vegas is looking to fade Houston going forward. Let's face it, the NBA, it's a marathon, not a sprint. What James Harden is doing is remarkable. And Houston has been hot, even with the loss last night, 9-4 straight up, 9-4 against the spread. However, what do we know about Houston? When they have the big three, when they have Capella, when they have Chris Paul, when they have Harden, they're dynamite. Last year, that group, 50-5. Well, right now, they only have one of the big three. I think it's unsustainable that this team can keep winning.
So while everybody is celebrating this, Brad, and everybody's looking at this like, man, what a historic run James Harden is on, and talking about the points and the shots and the minutes and all that, you as a Vegas expert would look at this and think, all right, keep this in the back of your mind. Long term, this could have a problem.
Absolutely. And we talk about Houston possibly running out of gas because it's particularly James Harden. Well, I can tell you this, Jonas, certainly looked like Houston ran out of gas last night. You want to talk history? How about this? Last 20 years, the Rockets, when they led by 6 points or more with 30 seconds left in regulation, the Rockets in those games were 682-0. 682-0, leading by six or more in the final seconds of the game. Somehow, the Rockets run out of gas. And now it's 682-1 for the Rockets.
That's incredible. Can you think of another stat that has gone on that long that just snapped that nobody's really been talking about? Because everybody's caught up in the fantasy basketball aspect of James Harden. But just that right there should tell people right away, this is a problem moving forward.
And to put things in perspective, think about the NCAA tournament where a 1 had never lost to a 16. And I think that streak was only something like 110-0. This streak went 5 times as long.
That's incredible. Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, Jonas Knox, RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. On to the NFL, guys, as we move forward to the AFC Championship game. We've got the Patriots at the Chiefs right now, holding steady on pregame.com. Kansas City is a 3-point favorite this Sunday night at Arrowhead. By the way, the weather is improving every single day, so we all got our, what's in a bunch over nothing, according to the National Weather Service. But Julian Edelman, the wide receiver for the New England Patriots, he's got T-shirts. He's got stuff on his website. You can buy all sorts of merchandise, bet against us. They're really playing up this underdog role. A lot of disrespect, according to the Patriots, being shown their way. But Steve Fezzik, according to Vegas, how much are the Patriots really being disrespected this weekend?
The Patriots are not being disrespected at all because Kansas City is the better team than the Patriots this year. In my power ratings, I have Kansas City the second best team in the NFL, clearly better than the New England Patriots, who are my third best team. I have Kansas City half a point better. Even if you only give 3-point home field advantage for Arrowhead, a very tough place to play, that would make the pure power number in this game, New England, a 3.5-point underdog. Since New England's only a 3-point underdog, I would argue that New England is being respected by the Vegas line.
Brad, when you hear Julian Edelman selling T-shirts online and they're talking about disrespect and all that, just looking at this Patriots team and seeing where they're at, do you stand along the same lines as Steve Fezzik that this is a team who's fortunate to be seeing the sort of respect they're getting as well, too? Or do you look at the Patriots as they still got Brady, they still got Belichick, they're dangerous, they're playing this up themselves?
Well, yeah, they're definitely playing up themselves. But one thing they haven't played up to this season, particularly the New England Patriots, is on the road, which is where they'll play for the first time in a long time. During this stretch where New England's had this great run in the playoffs, almost all these games have come at home. They have not, the Patriots, won a road playoff game since 2007, January of 07. And even more worrisome for me as far as the Patriots is how they've done on the road this season. When you take a look at a team that's 3-5 straight up, 3-5 against the spread on the road this season, the fact that this line is only 3, again, no disrespect for the Patriots, much more like very much respected for what they've done the last 10 years.
And let's actually break down how the Patriots have done on the road, because, Brad, you mentioned 3-5 straight up, 3-5 against the spread, but the underlying numbers are even worse. If you look at the Patriots, on average, they've scored 21.5 points, and they've given up 24. So they've been outscored by 2.5 points on average per game. The Patriots have the underlying statistics of a team that looks like a mediocre average NFL team.
Yeah, and the line is supposed to be expectations for the Patriots. So the Vegas line, when you consider the Vegas line for all of the Patriots home games, Jonas, the Patriots failed to meet that expectation, the line, by a combined 74 points on the road this season. 9 points per game. The Patriots are coming up short of expectation on the road this year.
And so when you see that this reputation has been built into the line like this, you guys being having done this for as long as you have, can you think of a team and maybe a coach or a quarterback that's been more feared by people when betting against them? Because everything would tell you, oh, this seems like a kind of a good spot for the Kansas City Chiefs, but there are people out there who it's like the boogeyman. So they're fearful to even put any money towards anybody opposing Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, and probably for good reason here, Jonas, because we normally do trends of the week on Thursday here straight out of Vegas. And here's one trend, a long-term trend, as far as being afraid to play against the Patriots in the underdog role. Since the 2001 season, New England, in the underdog role, being disrespected, quote-unquote, 35-18-1 push. 35-18 against the spread in the underdog role in 17-plus seasons, that's 66%. That'll get you in the top 100 of the Super Contest. Maybe not win it, but certainly place it towards the top.
And I've been the champion talking about why we should not bet against the genius. Don't bet against Brady. Even if their underlying stats aren't very good, they'd make all the right game management decisions such that if you bet against New England, you lose your money. Well, you know what? I never do this. I always look to pass when I'm looking to bet against the Patriots. In this game, I'm actually going to bet against the Patriots because I would argue that the underlying numbers are overwhelming, that this team is an average team on the road this year in the NFL.
And I can remember earlier in the season when you were almost looked nervous because you were taking the Bears at home against the Patriots against RJ. I believe that was a green button bet, if I'm not mistaken. And you just
correct.
Yes, and you just felt like just the look on Fezzik's face while he was pressing the button was just he was so uncomfortable because the idea of betting against Belichick and Brady, I don't know that I've heard of another team that scares people with their own money like the Patriots do.
Well, the thing is, if you think about it, Fez, and I think you've talked about this first of all the guys in Vegas, the stats don't explain the Patriots' success. So if you look at all, you approach every other team the same way, you decide who to bet, and you win most of the time, or you win enough not to have to work a job, right? With the Pats, you look at the numbers, make a decision to bet against them, and you lose. So at some point, you got to trust the same thing that helps you win with every other NFL team. You can't beat the Patriots without analysis because you don't understand what they're doing.
Exactly.
How they're winning the way they win.
And the Bears game that you beat me out of, and by the way, RJ, you're funding your second, your beach home from bets you're beating me in. New England wins that game 38-31. What do? They get two freaky scores, a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown. Well, that's what the Patriots do. They find ways to win other than in the pure stats.
I mean, think about this, Jonas. And let's just do a little math, but let's keep it simple. The second best team since 2003. The reason we started 2003 after the first Super Bowl. So the theory is Patriots, Brady, Belichick, they're a premium team. They're a popular team. They just won a Super Bowl, right? Tom Brady looks like a model. So Belichick's Belichick. So they got to be quite popular quite quickly. If you look at every NFL game since that first Patriots Super Bowl, the second best team against the Vegas spread hit 55%. The Patriots have hit 60% against the spread. Now, to break even against a bookie, you have to win 52.5%. So the distance between 52.5 and the number two team, it's triple that distance of profit to the Patriots. Patriots have triple the profit of the second best team during that era. And it's a time, Jonas, it's a time that during this period that the Patriots were very popular, which means usually the average Joe is betting them. And it's hard to win with popular teams. Fez, it's one of the most, if you're not a Vegas guy, you don't understand how amazing that stat is. But have you ever, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in the NFL, how much the Patriots have won against expectation.
I would argue that it's just impossible, RJ, for a public team like that to be so successful because the point spread tax should get you. The New England spread should have inflated, but they never did. You know why? All the analytics guys, all the numbers-based guys would bet against the Patriots all those weeks.
And that's why you're scared.
Yes.
To bet against the Pats.
I am.
But you are this week.
I have to.
It's almost like at the end of Outlaw Josie Wales. Great movie. Is a, everyone's trying to shoot down Clint Eastwood, and he's killing them all. Guy walks in, and he kind of looks at Clint Eastwood, and Eastwood goes, you know, you don't have to do this, boy. And the guy goes, well, I got to make a living. And Eastwood goes, dying ain't much of a living. And then the kid looks at him and kind of nods and walks away. Like he's going to not fight him. He walks back in and said, I have to do it. Eastwood goes, I understand. Boom, shoots him dead.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Your Rockets take just plain wrong. And I've got the green button out if you disagree. If the question is, how are the Rockets going to do the rest of the regular season? And your point is, hey, this is not sustainable. Harden playing this well, this much effort. I think you might be right. We'd have to frame the bet a certain way, but I probably wouldn't want to bet you. But if you said, if you had to blind play on or blind play off the Rockets the next seven games, and seven's just a nice midterm number that's odd, I'd be willing to bet you, and this is a challenge in front of just 200 stations nationwide, I'll be willing to bet you $100 a game blind. I'll take the Rockets. Yes, we'll use the bookmaker close, which is a big online book. You take the Rockets. No, we'll have seven separate $100 bets. Either say yes and press the green button or say, Rand or RJ, you are correct.
Yes.
Ooh. All right, Jonas. So here's the question. Let's start with Brad. Which side do you like better there? Oh, so you, what are you doing?
I'm pressing the button on you, RJ.
On me? Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. This is one of those times. You know how sometimes, you know, there's a great line in Good Will Hunting when it's the professor that loves Will and he says, there's only five people in the world that understand the difference between me and you, but I'm one of them. You know, where he was like, Will's better. People might listen and think Brad knows as much as RJ, Fezzik knows. Here's where the difference is, Jonas. Here's what they miss. What is the number one factor in the NFL or in the NBA when it comes to a team's performance?
Health.
I would make the case it's their effort level. The effort level ebbs and flows more than any other sport. That's if I, you tell me we're getting max effort tonight, some January game on a Thursday, not on TV, whatever, you're going to just bet that team. If you know they're getting max effort, right?
Agree strongly. And at the bottom of the hour, at the end of the hour, I'll have two NBA likes based upon effort and motivation.
Okay. Now, do you really believe with Harden having a potential all-time run, the kind of run in 10 years that we're going to be talking about, that like Kobe's run, that somehow the Rockets are going to not put their effort in? They might be, Harden might be a little more tired than we'd like him to be, but that seems like a small factor relative to the fact you're going to see max effort as long as this streak feels anything like what it is, which is what everyone is talking about. Harden next game knows everyone's going to be talking about how many points he had, and the rest of the team is going to be right there with them. I think I'm guaranteeing max effort from the Rockets, even if they are slightly tired. We're only talking a handful more games.
I think they've already been putting that max effort in.
And how they've been doing.
They've been winning and they've been covering.
So why would that change?
Because now their lines are getting inflated because they're having success.
Okay, except they just lost yesterday. Or they just didn't cover recently.
Yeah, they just lost last night.
Exactly.
They're up six with 30 seconds to play, RJ.
Exactly, which reinforces my point. They actually dominated the game, had a brain fart at the end. We still get the loss, which means people are like, okay, maybe the run's over. And that's when I step in. When the guys like you are stepping out, that's when I step in.
I tell you what, I'm really going to like maybe three games from now is when Chris Paul comes back, because they've been playing extra hard. And I see this all the time. When a superstar is out and he comes back, the rest of the team's been like playing.
So you agree with me. We'll wrap this. You agree with me, Harden and this Rockets team will play hard the next seven games.
I do agree with that.
But you want to fade them.
I do.
Brad, I'll let you buy out for $10 a game.
For $10 a game?
Yeah.
No, I'm on.
We're who on. Do you like in that, Jonas?
I kind of like I've heard more of their theory because we talked about it before the show. So I'm gonna go with Fez and Brad on this one.
All right, I love it. I love when it's me against the world, because then when I win, I don't have to thank anybody. I just can laugh. So here's the beauty: we'll be able to be tracking this each show, and again, it won't be so bad paying me.
And you did take down the crown in college football betting with similar type of contrarian analysis.
Well, in college football, I know literally nothing. In the NBA, I know a good bet.
Guys, we move here on Straight Out of Vegas to the NFL, the NFC and AFC championship game this Sunday. We're going to start with the NFC title game on Fox. We're going to ask the question, the most important question of each team this weekend. And let's start with the LA Rams, currently 3.5-point underdogs at the Saints.
And this will be fun. This is almost like we're letting the listener hear our production meeting, where we're going to decide not even what the answer is, but what the key question is for each of these teams. And then in just a few minutes, Greg Cosell, we're going to ask him these four questions. So Fez, if you could get one answer from above about the Rams, what would it be?
Should I trust Goff in this game? His last three games against playoff teams, 0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, very worried about Goff's recent performance.
And I think, and Brad's brought up one of the first two, I think, that Goff and the Rams against playoff competition have struggled, but also Goff on the road so has struggled. He's a below average passer rating on the road. So now it's a perfect storm of down arrow Goff, in theory, against a really good team on the road. So that, to me, is the question. I love it. Brad, what do you think?
Also question, does the head coach, Sean McVay, trust Jared Goff? First 14 games of the season, the Rams had 0 games where they rushed the ball 40 attempts or more. After those two bad performances that Goff had against Chicago and Philadelphia, what have the Rams done the last 3 weeks? Every single game ran the ball more than 40 times per game.
Going to be hard if the Saints take the lead. And in New Orleans, you would expect at some point the Saints are going to have the lead.
Guys, let's talk about the Saints. New Orleans, the biggest question for them, currently 3.5-point favorites at home.
I believe this one's easy. Is Drew Brees 100% physically? If he is, I love the Saints. If he isn't, I got to pass the game. Is there anything we could want to know more?
Well, I think it leads in the Saints offense, first 11 games.
Remember, we're trying to define one question.
Yep.
Do you have a question you want to hear more?
No.
And you had some data backing up how this is a good question.
Yeah, Saints, first 11 games, really good offense, 37 points per game. For some reason, the last 6 weeks, Saints offense disappeared, going from 37 points per game to 19 points per game.
And the last 8 games, Drew Brees, his longest pass completion, 42 yards.
Boy, so you keep throwing those stats around. That seems like a long completion to me, 42.
Oh, you should over 2 months, RJ, you should have like a 60, a 70, an 80-yard
Now,
bomb.
I will say this. Brad's numbers don't impress me as much as in the, how the scoring has gone down, because obviously one game without Brees, and then obviously they had 3 straight road games starting with that Cowboy game, and then they put up 31 against the Steelers. So the only home game they played after that Dallas defeat, where they got beat by Dallas, when Brees started, was the Steelers. They put up 31 in a very hotly contested game. The thing that troubles me is at home against the Eagles, they only put up 20. And to me, the rationale is maybe Brees is less than 100%.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Check that. We're in for a treat now. Greg Cosell joins us. And listen, these are the guys that know their stuff. And I just love to hear from Greg. He's kind enough to join us every Thursday during the football season, 6:30 Eastern. How are you, Greg?
RJ, what's happening, my man?
We got four teams. We got 4 questions for you. It's what we consider to be the key question for each of these teams. We'll keep it simple. Let's start with the Rams. Is if you look at the Rams, you look at Jared Goff specifically, he's underplayed, at least relative to home field play, on the road. If you look at his passer rating, other stats, and if you look at the Rams against playoff caliber teams, they don't play as well as they do against lesser teams, which kind of makes sense, but the drop-off is more than you might think. If I told you Goff is on the road, as he is, against a playoff caliber team, does this year's stats and history cause you significant concern about what we're going to get out of Goff?
I don't think the sample size, RJ, is large enough to make any determination about Jared Goff's career. He's really played 2 years as a full-time starter, and he had a tough stretch down toward the end of this season where he played not so well both at home and on the road. So I think using that as a determinant of how he'll play is difficult. Now, you and I both know that one of two things will happen. He'll play well, or he'll play not so well. And whichever way he plays, people will take it the way they want to take it, because they'll have the answer. They'll have the narrative already written. You know me well enough now to know I don't deal with things like that. I'm about the process and the tactics of the game. So I don't look at this game and think, well, Jared Goff's on the road, and he's had a few not-so-great performances on the road, so therefore I expect him to have a bad performance on the road.
Now, do you feel like watching the process and tactics of the Rams, does it feel like McVay has been protecting Goff with his play calling more than at various other times the last 2 years?
No, I think what's happened is when they run the ball really effectively, and by the way, they're a run-first team in terms of philosophy. I'm not talking about number of rushes versus number of passes in any given game, but in terms of their philosophical approach to offense, they're based on the run game. And when they run really well, then they continue to run the ball, as was the case versus Dallas last week when they ran really, really well, so they kept running it. So Goff's numbers, first of all, the number of throws was lower, and therefore the number of yards was lower. So people might just look at that as an abstract statistic and say, well, Jared Goff didn't have a big game, but that game didn't play out in which he had to have a big game. When they lost to New Orleans week 9 in New Orleans, they fell behind, and he threw the ball an awful lot, and he threw for close to 400 yards. So, you know, again, I think that each game plays out differently, but I think that the Rams are capable of both running and throwing depending on the game.
We're talking with Greg Cosell, NFL analyst, senior producer for NFL Films for 39 years. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I've heard more people then I would say a surprising number of people really questioning Drew Brees' arm strength in the last couple weeks. You
right.
Watch every play. As you watch the play, do you see a difference physically from Drew Brees recently compared to early in the season?
to some degree, you know, certain throws. And I would say that the way they played offense this year was very representative of a slight change in the way they go about their offense and their pass game, because much of what they did in the pass game, balls were thrown 10 yards and under in the air from the line of scrimmage. So my guess is that was intentional. And it was probably intentional because of the efficiency of Drew Brees. You know, Brees has always been a player, RJ, who's lived off the fact that his lower body was really, really strong. Now, he's getting older. It happens to all of us. Maybe he's just not the same guy. But their offense, again, their offense struggled a bit down the stretch. Drew Brees struggled a bit down the stretch. He had some uncharacteristic bad snaps, quite a few of them in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Things we're not used to seeing from Drew Brees. So we'll see. They've not been an offensive powerhouse over the last 5, 6 weeks as they were through the first 10, 11 weeks.
We're talking the biggest questions, in our opinion, for each team of the four teams remaining in the NFL with Greg Cosell. You can follow him on Twitter, at Greg Cosell. New England Patriots, you mentioned it, Greg, and it's a great point. In the NFL, you only got 16 regular season games. If you even just do a home-away split, you're down to a sample size of 8. That's where I believe the per-play analysis, either statistical or with the eye that you do so wonderfully well, can be so valuable. If you just look at the splits, this was by far the biggest home-road dichotomy out of any Patriots team we've seen. Great at home, undefeated at home,
right,
struggling on the road. On a per-play basis, did they struggle as much as their record on the road, the Pats?
Well, you know, I'd have to look at their schedule now and see who they lost to on the road, and then I'd be able to tell you, and I don't know that offhand, the specific teams they lost to. I know that this year I didn't feel that Tom Brady was quite as good moving around the pocket. He was not as good on third down all season long as he has been in the past. And the offense wasn't as good on third down. So I think there's reasons for that when you watch tape, but obviously, they lost more games on the road. They're going to go to a tough place to play. They'll be aware of that. They'll be aware of how they want to attack. My guess is you'll see them do some things a little bit differently because Bill Belichick will play to this specific opponent. They did play this team at home week 6 and obviously put up 43 points, and they ran the ball well, and they threw the ball well. And I think their run game will be a very important piece of what they try to get done in this given game.
Last question for Greg Cosell. Also, this guy just works and works. NFL matchups, TV on ESPN. Last question. Mahomes, if you look at QBR, an ESPN stat, has not had a below average game. He's at 18, 50 or above scores on the QBR. But
right,
his four coldest games, so if you just look at temperature and say, of the 18, give us the four coldest games, were his four lowest QBR results. Seems like there might be a correlation there. Now, last week was one of those cold ones. Hey, he played pretty well, but it was one of his four lowest QBRs. Did you see the cold affect Mahomes?
You know, I think that when you watch Mahomes, and he's played for the most part exceptionally well, there's always throws every game that he misses that are there to make with inaccuracy, but he makes so many others that you lose sight of that, and they create so many big plays for a number of reasons that are football tactical reasons that those things just don't seem to matter. We don't know how it'll be in a game, let's say, where all of a sudden you're in the fourth quarter, perhaps, and it's 17-13. Now, maybe they won't play a game like that. You know, in games where it appeared he might lose, he made that great fourth and ninth throw, I believe, against the Baltimore Ravens, where he ran out to his right and threw it across the field, and Tyreek Hill caught it. You know, those are tough plays to analyze because they're improvisational and they're random plays, and he makes a lot of those plays, and that's what makes it difficult for defenses to play against him.
That's Greg Cosell. Greg, we consider it an honor to have you on. Talk to you next week.
All right, RJ. Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.